Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Daisy Take. I'm your host, Daisy Elizabeth, and I want to welcome you here. If you're new here, hi, and I hope that you hit that subscribe button or click that little check mark and never miss an episode. And if you've been listening, thank you so much. I appreciate you for sticking with me. Have you ever heard of Judith Barcy? Now, you've heard of The Land Before Time and All Dogs Go to Heaven. Well, this episode may ruin that for you. She and her mother were murdered by her father. So let's get into the story of Judith Barcy. Like I said, I don't want to ruin anything for you. Information for today's podcast comes from Wikipedia.org, CrimeWire.com, AllThat'sInteresting.com, Medium.com, and HouseBeautiful.com. This episode contains subject matters that may be sensitive to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. And this does deal with the death of a child, so if you are sensitive to that, please listen with caution. Judith Eva Barcy was born June 6, 1978. She was an American child actress and began her career in television and commercials and making appearances in television series, as well as the 1987 film Jaws: The Revenge. She also provided the voice for Ducky in The Land Before Time and Anne-Marie in All Dogs Go to Heaven. She and her mother, Maria, were killed in July 1988 in a double murder-suicide committed in their home by their father, Joseph Barcy. At just 10 years old, she was already accomplished. She had already been in over 70 commercials, programs like Punky Brewster, The Tracy Ullman Show. She had landed larger roles and larger projects like The Land Before Time and Jaws. But behind the scenes, Judith and her mother lived in fear all the time. Joseph was a struggling alcoholic who routinely threatened his family with murder and burning the house down. He threatened to kill them all the time. As her career began to grow, so did his resentment for her and her mother. It was just domestic violence all the way around. Now, from what I understand, she was born in Los Angeles to Hungarian immigrants who both independently left their homeland during the 1956 Soviet occupation. And Judith looked very young. She was very young and was more socially and intellectually developed. This made her extremely popular with producers because she could play younger characters. So if she was 10 years old or she was 8 years old, she could play a 5 or 6 year old. I think she was 8 years old when she did Jaws. And she was playing a 5-year-old. Now, her first major acting role was in 1984, appearing in a television miniseries called Fatal Vision. I have seen that movie. It was pretty good. It was about the McDonald case. That's a pretty good one. The following 7-year-old, Judith appeared in 6 television projects, including Wes Craven directed an episode of 1980's The Twilight Zone revival. And then suddenly Judith was bringing in $100,000 per year. I think that's equivalent to $250,000 today, but it could be even more than that. right now. And I believe when she was in the miniseries called Fatal Vision, her co-stars were the girl from Growing Pains. And I can't remember. Tracy Gold and her sister were in that movie too. And roles were always coming her way. She was able to provide for the family, and they could live really comfortable off of what she made. So she was essentially the breadwinner of the family. So they moved to an area of Los Angeles that was both home to Warner Brothers Studios and Walt Disney Studios. And as her career continued to grow, so did Joseph's anger and outrage and disgust for his wife and his daughter. He was displaced, and this is what he felt. This wasn't what was even going on. In his warped, twisted mind, he felt like he was being replaced as the breadwinner by a very young child who wanted to make him feel stupid. Now, of course, that was not reality that was going on. That was just what his drunken interpretation was. And he couldn't accept it. He could not accept it. He fought for control any way he could. He had a quick temper that led him into bar fights and other violent altercations. And he was an alcoholic. He was arrested 3 times in Los Angeles for driving under the influence. Though he was never formally charged in connection with any violent act. Now, as far as I'm concerned, he was charged 3 times. He should have been just thrown in jail and locked away and thrown away the key. Now, much of the abuse that Joseph imposed on his family was never really talked about. But those close to the family recounted that regularly he threatened to kill Maria and Judith. Joseph's friend, Peter Kivlin, I hope I'm saying that correctly, later came forward to share that he told Kivlin that he wanted to kill Maria over 100 times. The most chilling aspects of this conversation that he could recall, his friend asked him, well, what would happen to Judith if you killed Maria? And he said, I gotta kill her too. Like, he was already planning this. He was already thinking this in his warped and twisted mind. I'm sorry. According to a neighbor, Judith was playing with a kite one day in the front yard, and Joseph went up to her and just took it away, so it made her cry. Rather than apologizing for what he did, he looked at Maria and called her a spoiled brat, that she didn't know how to share her things. And that was the least of the abuse that Judith would experience by the hands of her father. He sensed that Maria wanted to leave, so he got an even tighter grip on the family. And prior to his daughter's wife departing for the Bahamas, where Judith was going to go film the 1986 film Jaws the Revenge, apparently, this is what I read, he placed a knife to Judith's neck, telling her if she did not return, he would cut her throat. So he was very fearful that she was going to go to the Bahamas, work on this movie. Her mother and her were going to, you know, get this idea to leave, and then he would end up finding them and killing them. So the next door neighbor, Eunice Daly, reported that she encouraged Maria to move out. To which he replied, "I can't because he'll come after us and kill us. He's threatened to burn down the house." So as the physical and violence, you know, and the emotional toll that it took on Judith, she began to, you know, I mean, things begin to escalate. You know, her agent noticed that the young actress had gained weight and started plucking out her own eyelashes. And I heard on a YouTube video, or I saw on a YouTube video, that she also had a cat that she would pluck the whiskers out. This is how bad her emotional trauma was. She was hurting herself and plucking out her own eyelashes. So at an audition in May 1988, Judith just burst into tears, and this led her agent to insist that she see a psychiatrist. Now, he determined that this little girl was really, really, really experiencing abuse. And I can see that. She was terrified all the time. She was playing these things, you know, these roles with probably loving parents and, you know, hugs and kisses and blah, blah, blah. But her home life was not like that. It was abusive and terrifying every single day. So these findings were reported to the Los Angeles County of Children Family Services. But Maria, her mother, intervened in the investigation, stating that she planned to leave Joseph, which was substantiated by existence of her own secret apartment in Panorama City. Sorry, I couldn't say that. Panorama City. So investigators believe that the early morning hours of July 25th, 1988, Joseph crept into the daughter's room and shot her while she slept. Hearing the gunshot blast, Maria leaped out of bed and ran into the hallway. There she met her husband, who shot and killed her. I don't even think that Maria and Judith moved into the apartment, but I'm not sure. I think they stayed there for a while, but I really can't be sure. I know she had gotten the apartment, but I don't know if they actually had moved in. Now, Joseph remained in the house with the two bodies of his wife and daughter for like 2 days. And on July 27th, the neighbor reported hearing a gunshot. When police arrived, they discovered Joseph in the garage, and he was dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Now, prior to his suicide, both Judith and Maria's bodies were doused in gasoline and lit on fire. So he was literally trying to light them on fire and cover up the crime scene. Now, tragically, two of Judith Barcy's most career-defining roles were The Land Before Time and All Dogs Go to Heaven. That would not be released until after her murder. Both were so successful. Judith could have ascended from child actor to adult actress. She really could. Bonnie Gold, which I believe is Tracy Gold's mother, a spokeswoman from Judith's talent agency, described her as having every door open to her at the time of her death. With no family in the area, there was nobody to make formal arrangements for Judith and Maria. They were buried without headstones in Forest Lawn, Hollywood Hills Cemetery. But from what I understand, Tracy Gold from Going Pains, that was a show in the early 80s, late 90s. Her mother and her father were agents, and I guess they put the funeral together for Maria and Judith, and her sister gave the eulogy. Since Maria did not have family in that area. And I found this on Judith Barcy's Facebook, where Tyler Henry, the medium, did a reading with Tracy Gold. And Judith came through thanking her for the funeral. And it's a very, very interesting clip. If you get to watch it, please do. Because she comes through very strong. She talks about Joseph and how she was murdered. And how she thanked her for putting the funeral together. Whether you believe in mediums or not, you know, I'd like to believe in them. And I don't know if he had any prior history to what was going on, but it's a very interesting clip. So if you get the chance, you really should watch it. In 2004, an online fund was established to purchase headstones for their plots, which Judith's reads, "Yep, yep, yep," a nod to her favorite role as Ducky from The Land Before Time. Now, this is like gaslighting and narcissism at its best, you know. When Joseph met Maria, he was charming, he was charismatic. You know, he gave her the world, he promised to love and care for her, and oh my goodness, he was so good and so attentive and so helpful. But he wanted complete control. And he could not maintain a life after Judith's acting career took off. Like, he could not grasp a hold of that. So, fittingly, as it should be, Joseph Barcy died a miserable death, alone and unloved. You know, and I hope he did, because there was no cause for that. I don't know, his drunken rampages and terrifying this poor little girl, terrifying her mother, was just simply no words that I have can be put here, because it's disgusting. Now, there could be a dark cloud over Judith, but her life and legacy and what she has done and the memory of this talented little girl will remain forever. If you get the chance to look up Judith Barcy, cutest kid. My God, little girl was adorable. You know, at least we can enjoy what she did. If you get the chance to watch All Dogs Go to Heaven, Land Before Time. I can't watch those two movies without getting a tear, because I know what happened. But on a side note, there's a show called Murder Flip House, and I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I have, and it's really cool. If you watch the show, they talk about Judith Barcy and the home where she was murdered. Her and her mother and her family, you know, where they were murdered. Now, I've seen an episode and I thought it was really good how they changed the house with all the experiences that the new owners were having. Now, when the new owners first moved in, they had no idea of the history of the house. They didn't know what happened there. But when they first moved in, they felt a dark presence in the garage, and the door would mysteriously open and close, and there would be random cold spots in the house. Footsteps were heard in the hallway, and their daughter, who was 10 years old at the time, had trouble sleeping, and she often felt like she was being watched. When she turned, which would haunt her into adulthood. And as it turns out, the bedroom that she had was the bedroom of Judith Barcy, where she was murdered in. Now, she said she could never been able to sleep towards the window, and that's how Judith was positioned when she was killed. But even more eerie is that the story the family told when learning more about the situation, maybe 2 or 3 years old, she had been laughing with her parents, and I guess this is another daughter, and they asked her, what was she doing? And she was like, I'm sitting here talking to Joseph. So that is like really creepy. But they went ahead and they fixed this whole house, and they gutted out the hallway. They made it bigger and they made it more light. And in the bedroom where Judith was murdered, they took out the window and they put French doors. I mean, just beautiful. There was so much light. And then they felt more at ease and more calm. And I'm pretty sure there was activity, but not as much after that. So rest in peace, Maria. Rest in peace, Judith. She was a bright little light that had her life taken away way too soon. Now she's in peace, and her mother are together. So here's to you, Judith. We love you and miss you. Yep, yep, yep. I want to thank you for joining me today on the Daisy Take. I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Join me here for Murdered and Missing Monday on Monday. Be kind to one another. Love you. Bye.